From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. First up, Kim, Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Hi, Kim.
Hi, Hank. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Just fine. My question is coming from Hebrews 13:4. I've had a few conversations with a few Christian believers that think that this verse permits anything as far as sexual between a husband and a wife. And I'm saying that sodomy is a perversion. And they're saying that's permissible by this verse.
Well, that's just ridiculous. And your point underscores the reality that many people are reading 50 Shades of Grey, and that not only in the secular community, but also in the Christian community. But the shades are classified as something that, at least in the text, is something to be desired, but it's not the way that you honor a spouse or adhere to a biblical worldview. You think about the eroticism in bondage and dominance and sadism and masochism and so forth. It is completely inconsistent with the way we are to conduct ourselves sexually.
So doesn't Paul say that if you engage in this practice, that you are a sodomite, which means that you won't make it to heaven?
Well, look, I mean, I think that if you are one who wants to be a participant in the kingdom, then you are one who wants to follow the precepts and principles of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if you follow those, you're not going to be involved in sadomasochism. You're not going to be involved in bondage. In fact, you're going to be delivered from bondage. And so I think anyone who genuinely follows the principles and precepts of Jesus Christ as a follower of the Master is not going to engage in these practices. So, yeah, I think it's absolutely correct to say that those who do engage in those practices are not part of the kingdom of light, but they're principles of the kingdom of darkness. And the prayer is that through our witness, they can come out of that kingdom of darkness into the wonderful kingdom of light. Back to the phone lines, we'll talk to Martin. He's listening in Alberta, Canada. Hi, Martin.
Hello. I was just wondering what you think about Peter Popoff.
Yeah, he's a fraud, pure and simple. I mean, the last time I watched him, he was purporting to be able to read the minds of people that he was having a discussion with in the church. The Lord is telling me, he would say, and then he would say things that were happening in the life of the particular person he was addressing. And as the TV cameras panned in, everybody was oohing and awing, wow, this is of God, because the people themselves were stunned. How could he know this about me? Well, as it turns out, his wife was feeding him information through an earpiece. So she was interviewing the person that he talked to, well, at least for all practical purposes, at random. Well, they were carefully selected. And his wife was feeding him the information into his earpiece. And of course, he has been exposed for that. And as a result of that, he was off television for a long time. But like Robert Tilton and Oral Roberts and many others of this ilk, they reappear over and over again, ad nauseum, ad infinitum, and he's pushing miracle spring water from Russia.
And I also want you to have the miracle spring water from Russia. I brought it back from Russia, prompted and led and directed by the Holy Spirit for you to use as a powerful point of contact for many, many miracles in your life. I just feel someone right now suffering with great pain in your left side. I don't know what's happened. You may have had an accident, broken ribs, a sprained rib. God wants to heal you. You're going to feel soothing relief as soon as you use this miracle spring water. Someone else, you're standing before a mountain of bills. God wants to let you see all of your debts canceled. Supernaturally, use the miracle spring water. God is going to do a miracle for you.
It is simply astounding to me to hear this guy get an audience. There's no accounting for the gullibility of the Christian public today. And this is why we have to develop discernment skills, to be able to discern between wheat and chaff, heat and light, between miracle water and that which is the real living water that we get from the Word of God. So, no, Peter Popoff has always been a fraud. He continues to be a fraud. Unfortunately, multitudes are falling for his fraudulent sales pitch in the name or under the guise of Christianity.
Yeah, no, I was just wondering what you thought about him and, you know, just for other people to be aware of it.
Well, I'm glad you brought it up on the broadcast because a lot of people late night watching Peter Popoff, and I'm surprised at how many people are falling for his ruse. It has been exposed, but people have short memories.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much.
You got it. Thanks for your call. Back to the phone lines. Rochelle, listening in Louisville, Kentucky. Hi, Rochelle.
Okay, quick question. I love your show, by the way. I listen every day after work. My question is about, like, tattoos and adornments and piercings and branding and things like that. I've been looking all over the Bible, and there's several references to adornments, but I haven't quite, because there's a lot of folks getting tattoos and things like that nowadays. So I'm trying to find something to kind of back that up. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, there's a reference to tattoos in Leviticus chapter 19, but in that passage, what God is doing is forbidding the Israelites from wearing tattoos because they are to be separated from the practices of pagan cultures around them. So the reason behind forbidding tattoos was not that they were intrinsically wrong, but that they were associated with paganism. And this is the thing that we need to be very careful about as well. We don't want to be part and parcel of the culture. Rather, we want to transform the culture. Jesus was a cultural revolutionary. He was a counterculture individual who is God in human flesh, who turned the culture on its head. And this is precisely what his disciples did as well. What they did was they became masters at communicating the truth and love and life that only Jesus Christ can bring to the human heart. And I think that's what we want to focus on as well. If you can use a tattoo as a way of witnessing, more power to you. But the idea is that you want to be not conformed to the culture, but rather transformed by the renewing of your minds. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect will.
That's perfect. Thank you so much.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Crystal, Santa Cruz, California. Hi, Crystal.
I wanted to know if you fornicated in your marriage, you and your spouse, and then you guys ended up divorcing and you remarried someone else, are you living in a constant state of adultery? Can a woman remarry ever?
Well, there are a lot of things that are not ideal, and the consequences to sin follow inexorably like night follows day. But in life, you cannot unscramble the egg. So if you got divorced unbiblically, maybe you weren't even a believer, and the same thing happened with your husband. Maybe he wasn't a believer. And now you've come to faith in Christ, and you are one who follows the precepts and principles of the kingdom. You have to put what is past behind you.
And, you know, he wasn't church, but so
look, you can't unscramble the egg. So as a believer, now you want to move forward in the situation that you are and be a testimony to the grace and goodness of God. God can take even the years that the locusts have eaten. He can take those things that were not meant for good, and he can use them for good. I mean, this is the promise that Paul gives in Romans chapter 8. All things work together for good to those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. But don't try to undo a marriage based on the idea that you're living in perpetual adultery. No, you want to continue being a testimony within that marriage of God's redemption of your life and the ability to take broken vessels and use them for his glory and for the extension of his kingdom. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions. Please don't touch that dial.
If you're not horrified, you should be, because the relentless assaults on sanity have now reached a fevered pitch. In fact, you know nothing less than civilization is at stake when ideology trumps reality, or when psychology trumps biology. That's wokeism in a nutshell. The threat is not only critical, it's urgent, which is why Christians need to wake up and wake up fast. You won't want to miss the upcoming special issue of the Christian Research Journal that contains everything you need to know about the cult of wokeism and its impact on Western civilization. You'll read sobering articles with penetrating analysis of the social and mental disease that is reaching a flashpoint. To receive your copy of the special Woke Edition of the Christian Research Journal, visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.
If you're not horrified, you should be. Because the relentless assaults of wokeism on sanity and common sense have now reached a fevered pitch. In fact, some astute observers see more than deranged ideologies at work. It's as though the gates of hell have been opened. And alarmingly, the speed of this mindless rush to chaos and potential civilizational collapse is gaining momentum daily. That means Christians need to wake up and wake up fast. One of the best alarm clocks is the upcoming special Woke edition of the Christian Research Journal. It contains sobering articles with penetrating analyses of a social disease that is reaching a flashpoint. To receive your copy of this special edition of the Christian Research Journal, visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI.
Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Let's go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Barbara listening in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Hank, I was listening to you, and I've always agreed. I mean, even years ago when Left Behind came out, I didn't like it, and I had bought the whole series, but I've been listening to Dr. David Jeremiah, and he's basically saying the same thing, that the Jews are going to go through a worse tragedy than they did with Hitler and the other things that they went through. And so I'm just wondering, you know, because I kind of like him, but I don't know. He's not saying what you're saying. He's basically about that anyway.
Well, I think here's the issue. We have to stand shoulder to shoulder when it comes to essential Christian doctrine. When it comes to secondary issues like the timing of the tribulation or the meaning of the millennium, we can debate this vigorously. But ultimately, we have to take the words of Scripture above the words of any human being, whether it's me, David Jeremiah, or anybody else. And I think the plain and literal sense of the Lord's words when he said, a time is coming when all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil would rise to be condemned. They suggest a moment in the future when both the righteous and the unrighteous are going to be resurrected and judged together. So the notion that believers are going to be raptured during a secret coming prior to the resurrection of unbelievers, I think, is an imposition on the biblical text. I don't think if you look through the Bible that you're going to find a future seven-year tribulation during which a vast majority of Jews are going to die. In fact, a future seven-year tribulation is conspicuous by its absence in the whole of Scripture. And again, that's not to suggest that the Jews have not faced such tribulation in the past. You can't forget the terrible seven-year tribulation suffered by Jews during the beastly reign of Antiochus IV Epiphanes, the Old Testament Antichrist, nor what happened when Jesus pointed back to that in the Olivet Discourse to point to another time of terrible tribulation that would take place when the temple in Jerusalem are manifestly destroyed.
Dr. Jeremiah said that the 144,000 are 12,000 Jews from each of the 12 tribes, and that they would be the one that evangelizes after the rapture, evangelized Jews and not Christians, but Protestants. Is that true, too?
No, it's not true at all. 144,000 has to do with the full complement of God's people from every tongue and language and nation and people. You know, if you read Revelation rightly, John sees a lion or hears a lion and turns to see a lamb. In the same way, he hears about the 144,000 and turns to see a great multitude. And if you unpack the beautiful majesty, the linguistic tapestry that you have in the book of Revelation, you find that this is the full complement of God's people. It is the perfected bride that the bridegroom carries over the threshold of Jordan into a new Jerusalem. The story of Revelation, of course, is seven letters to a persecuted bride, the seven churches in the epicenter of a Caesar cult, but it's also about a prostituted bride that is called to be a light to the nations, but instead has...
What is going to cause the Jews to turn to Jesus then? If it's not that they're evangelized by other, either Christians or Jews who are Messianic Jews, that, like he's talking about this 144,000, how are the Jews going to get saved?
Well, the Jews are going to get saved in the same way that everybody else is going to get saved. Those who want to be participants in the kingdom are those who have been impacted by the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that is true in every single epoch of time. But to suggest that the 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes means exactly 12,000, not 11,999 or 12,000, and one must surely stretch the credulity of even the most literalistic reader of Scripture. I mean, this is something that Jehovah's Witnesses teach as well. Because to begin with, 10 of the 12 tribes lost their national identity almost 3,000 years ago in the Assyrian exile. The other two, Judah and Benjamin, were largely decimated 2,000 years ago by Roman hordes. So the pattern of Scripture is to refer to the community of faith, whether Jew or Gentile, with Jewish designations. In fact, the New Jerusalem itself is figuratively built on the foundation of the 12 apostles, and it is entered through 12 gates inscribed with the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. Not only so, but the walls are 12 times 12, or 144 cubits thick. So I think what's really important is not to fall for the sensationalism of the Watchtower organization that has a perspective on the 144,000. They have two classes of people, nor for the idea that God has two classes of people in the present. I mean, Peter was disabused of this notion when he saw a vision of clean and unclean food. And after he saw that, he recognized the mystery of the gospel, that God does not show favoritism. God doesn't choose people on the basis of genealogy. You see this in the Old Testament with Ruth, who is a Moabite, the arch enemy of Israel, but she is in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Or you see this where the nations turn on to the sovereign God of Israel when they watch Esther being raised up. And the text tells us that many different people from many different nations became Jews. How did they do that? They did that because they were not finding a new birth mother, mysteriously, but because they were brought into all the types and shadows pointing forward to Jesus Christ. So they were true Israel. All those who follow Yahweh, the God of Israel, revealed in Jesus Christ, are true Israel. And so the one chosen community of God has always been the one chosen community of God, not based on racial distinctions, but rather based on relationship to Jesus Christ, revealed through types and shadows in the Old Testament, but revealed in his person and work in the New.
But what is going to happen to Israel then? I mean, something is wrong here. Because if God is not going, I mean, to me, the one way that when anybody says there's no God, I say, well, look at Israel. Look what God has done with Abraham's seed. And I don't understand what you mean when you say that. It's almost like you're saying that they're not even important enough, that Israel is not important.
No, what I'm saying is that God does not show favoritism. He doesn't choose people based on their race. He chooses people based on their relationship. But even beyond there, if you look at the Scripture, there is no biblical basis for believing in a second chance for salvation after the second coming of Jesus Christ. Christ is clear, all given to him by the Father will be raised up on the last day. Paul points out that the liberation of creation goes hand in hand with the redemption of our bodies, and therefore we can be certain that no one will be saved during a millennial semi-golden age following the second coming of Christ. The notion that our bodies are redeemed at the rapture and that earth is liberated from its bondage to decay approximately 1,007 years later, I think is without biblical precedent. At the second coming of Jesus Christ, the bride of Christ, the church universal, is complete. No one else can be saved. And while the notion that 21st century Christians are destined for 7 years of bliss and Jews are in for a Holocaust of unparalleled proportions is being trumpeted in popular Christianity, I don't think it makes great Bible. And so all I'm challenging you to do is test all things in light of Scripture and hold fast to that which is true. But the one thing that I don't think that we should ever promote is the notion that the Jews are going to face a horrendous Holocaust in the near future. There's no biblical precedent for that whatsoever. If they face a Holocaust, it's not being predicted in the Scripture. We don't know what's going to happen in the future. What we know is that Jesus will appear a second time, and when he does, he will put all things to right. There's nothing in Scripture, from my perspective, that I've ever been able to find, and I've been studying and memorizing Scripture for a long time. There's nothing in Scripture that I can find anywhere that suggests a secret coming of Jesus Christ, followed 7 years later by a second coming of Jesus Christ, then followed by a semi-golden age with rebuilt temple and reinstituted temple sacrifices. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To learn more about Hank or the Christian Research Institute, just go to equip.org. Equip.org is a fountain of information and resources designed to help you defend the faith and grow in your knowledge of the truth. You can also stream the broadcast live or download archived broadcast. To talk with a resource consultant by phone, call 888-7000-CRI. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.